Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and I want to let you know that this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. At both Mobius Strip Press and reclaimingtherepublic.org, you'll be able to find a lot of content. I also want to thank you for expanding and telling your friends and letting people know that there's actually a tangible solution, because you are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution in getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. And yes, you will learn here that they are not complying with the Constitution and that they are flying well outside the boundaries of our Constitution. And therefore, there is only one process of doing that. And this is where you are going to learn about that only process. The show is dedicated in supporting the state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. So with that, let me go out and say Chad Christensen is one of those candidates running for state legislator in Idaho, and he is committed to supporting the Constitution. So what does that mean? That means that he needs your help. They've got their primary coming up this coming Tuesday in less than a week, which means that if you can contribute, if you can send $5, $10, $20, whatever you can do, get it done. Go to Chad, F-O-R, Idaho. So it's chadforidaho.org. Throw him some assistance and show him that we need him to start the dialogue. Because when one person in one state is willing to commit to protecting all of us from federal tyranny, that is the bottom line, because they are protecting all of us, not just their own constituents in their legislative district. They're actually stepping up in front of this Leviathan, this Goliath, and basically, it's not even poking them in the eye. It is going to be they're standing up to strip them of all of their unconstitutional powers. So that is huge. And I've got a big, I don't want to say revelation, but I've got some good content out of the Virginia ratification debates again today. So I want you to know that it's there. We're going to get into that. And if we've got time, I'll try to meander a little bit further down this path of why the Platonists are getting away with controlling the narrative. A lot of people talk about this agenda, that agenda. There is really only the secular progressive agenda, and it is entwined with all of these different types of evil agendas, whether that be gun control, thought control, it doesn't really matter. But again, there's three reasons why you need to download the podcast. So I want to just kind of remind you that, again, this is the first reason is that this is the show that has the constitutional solution to getting that federal government back into its framework of the Constitution. This show also, for the second reason, is containing content that will help you understand, but you have to kind of stitch it together between the other shows, previous shows, and even future shows. Therefore, so you understand what it is that I'm going through, then I just ask that if you download these podcasts, you'll be able to kind of stitch all of this together. It is impossible for me to put all this content constantly on the same show in 1 hour, so that would be kind of redundant anyway. But it is literally a fire hose, so for you to get all the water that I have thrown down the line, or the river that has flown out of here, then I would tell you that you need to get back to that water that was, you know, going down the river a couple of weeks ago, back in January, and so forth. Third reason, the content on this show is not temporary or perishable. It is something that will withstand the test of time. So you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also want to point out that that YouTube video, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the Take Action page, you'll find the link to that video. Just the first 30 minutes, share that with your friends. That is, we're getting more hits on this. We're getting more subscriptions. And as a matter of fact, We are going to be doing some videos coming up, and if you subscribe, then you'll be able to get those videos and be able to listen to what maybe Tom DeWeese and or Trevor Lawton has to say about Republic Review. That being said, I still do need some support. I've asked before for some financial support, and I've really appreciated all that I've gotten so far. But I want to tell you that if you have some spare change, some money, don't throw it to me. Throw it to Chad Christensen. Get him across the line. We need the dialogue to start there, at least at the basic level. We want to actually carry the entire state of Wyoming across the line later on. So I'm hoping that you're committed to helping get this constitutional resurrection, or I should say the restoration of the Constitution, back online. And the only way to do that is to get these states that are dark red to stand up, and then they will drag the rest of these other states with them. Because I'm telling you, once you get a lead state to stand up, the courage comes a lot easier for everybody else to stand up. It's just like everything else. Anybody that wants to admit to something, then all of a sudden everybody else starts admitting. Anyway, I did check. I've looked at the news. I've scanned all the different sites. I've even looked outside my window, and there is still no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its unconstitutional tyranny and powers. So what we have to do is we're going to have to do it, my friends. And that's why we need a plan, and that's why we need states to become Davids and standing up against Goliath. So I still have that question. The line is open. Lines are open. And so you're more than welcome to dial in, join the dialogue. And what I would ask is just this. What or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land for reservations, regardless of for what cause? Whether that be for animals, creatures, plants, people, it doesn't matter. Where do they have the authority in the Constitution to create and manage reservations? The Red Pill Expo, as I've been saying, is coming up, and that is the 21st to the 23rd of June. And so go to redpillexpo.com and get your tickets. They will be premiering the special movie, Lavoie, Dead Man Talking. I don't know why I want to say Dead Man Walking. Anyway, because there's an older movie that way. That's the danger when you go down that path of playing with words like that. Anyway, a documentary you will never forget. It seems that they've also gone down this path of offering for the first 350 people who purchase the general admission or VIP tickets that you will be able to get last year's DVD album of the Red Pill Expo. So that's a special offer that they are offering right now while they last for the first 350 people. Anyway, one of the things that I wanted to point out, because this goes hand in hand with this progressive agenda, there is an art teacher named Stacy Bailey in Texas who was suspended for basically discussing her sexual orientation with her students. And therefore, because she's been suspended for actually talking about those types of things, it probably has nothing to do with anything. It's just like me going to work and discussing my sexual orientation. If I was working for a big company that has a policy that says you don't do that and you get suspended, well, then that's what happens. You get suspended because there's no place for that type of stuff. And if you want to be an activist, then go down to City Hall, because that's where you become an activist. You should not be an activist exposing our kids to crap that they just shouldn't be exposed to. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why we have to take back the education system. They're getting way too exposed to crap. Anyway, there's also this First Amendment bout that I wanted to talk about, because Trump basically tweeted, quote, "The fake news is working overtime. Just reported that despite the tremendous success we're having with the economy and all things else, 90% of the network news about me is negative," in parentheses, fake, close quote. And then he also says, Trump wrote, We do work so hard in working with the media when it is corrupt. Take away credentials. And so now there's this big flap about the fact that the White House and I guess Sarah Sanders was getting grilled on this. But bottom line, who defines what is a journalist and who defines what is credibility? And so there should be some standards. There should be some credibility. And I truly believe that we need to go down that space and look at really defining what journalism is so that we can literally create a better credibility for journalism. That way they're no longer pumping their biases and their ideologies down everybody's throats. We're at a hard break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
How would this be for a headline? Made in America, tested in Saudi Arabia. I think that'd be a better headline than just saying Saudi Arabia intercepted two ballistic missiles over its capital. What ended up happening was Yemen launched a couple of missiles at it, and it was able to intercept it with good old American technology. So it's good that we're having these validations in our technology and our abilities, isn't it? But I just think that sometimes the way the news reports it, it doesn't necessarily come out the way it should, as far as I'm concerned. I will also say that the Second Amendment is continually being chipped away at because there is nothing within the Constitution that allows them to marginalize or infringe in any way, any form, on your right to bear arms. And so what has been happening is it seems that the progressive agenda has been locked on the narrative, and it is getting states and even the federal government to violate the Second Amendment in banning these bump stocks. It's, again, I don't know how many times I have to say this. We do not have a gun problem in America. We have a morality problem in America. It is reprehensible to think that somebody would just kill somebody, but it is very important to understand that you have a right and a responsibility to defend your property and your life, and that's why we have guns. Not only just to defend our life and property from bad people, but from the government as well. And so the framers got into the details and they discussed this to the nth degree, understanding what the greatest threat to society is. And I will tell you that government has killed more people than any corporation, than even a religion. Even though government has used religion, it is still done at the hands of government. Now, I will tell you that the Islamic movement has done a great job in killing people, but they come probably second to the, you know, all the different governments and so forth. And so I think it's important to kind of keep the narrative under control and making sure that people understand that we do not have a gun problem in America. We have a morality problem in America. One more time, and I'm going to kind of mention that coming up on May 22nd, which is just a couple weeks away, I will be announcing my endorsements for South Dakota. And so I'm getting out and reaching out to a lot of the incumbents. And I would ask you to go look, because this is kind of amazing. Imagine an election where there are people that are constantly running for re-election in state legislative offices that are not being opposed. I mean, it's just like a slam dunk, right? So I'm absolutely amazed that those types of things are happening. But on to point, now's a good time to plug again for Chad Christensen. Please send him support. Get this guy across the finish line. He has committed, he has signed the pledge of protecting the Constitution and protecting his citizens from federal tyranny. If you want to know what those things are, by all means, just let me know. I will tell you what the six actionable things are. But here is a man that has taken his oath to that point to say, I will defend liberty and support the Constitution and not unconstitutional government. Remember, again, I like to assert these two facts. If we are not using the Constitution for our battles, then we risk almost certainly and certainty in losing these battles. Therefore, the only defense that we have that can save us is the Constitution, and the only weapon that will destroy our enemies is the Constitution. Liberty has an incredible force behind it, and so let me just leave it with that. I can go on and on about the importance of liberty and what we've been able to do as a nation, unlike any other society and nation before us. That is why this is the greatest nation, but let me stop there. In contrast to the self-acclaimed front bencher that happens to be, I think, on the radio right about now, I'm actually going to get into some citing some documents for you, because I don't believe that me and my opinion really holds water if I can't back that up with some academic evidence. And I also believe that knowledge is power. Therefore, I think it's very important to empower you with knowledge so that you can become an awesome weapon in the arsenal of the Republic in fighting for the Constitution. That's why it's really important to go through these founding documents and make you completely aware and cognizant of the fact that we have all the truth on our side. And so the first this is George Nichols, and this is out of the Virginia Ratification Debates. And let me jump into what he says. He says, "Let me say that in my opinion, the adversaries of the Constitution wander equally from the true meaning. If it would not fatigue the House too far, I would go back to the question of reserved rights." The gentleman he's talking about, again, is George Mason, who kept on harping and harping and harping for these rights, for the Bill of Rights and so forth. The gentleman supposes that complete and unlimited legislation is vested in the Congress of the United States. Now, let me stop here. I just want you to understand how powerful these ratification debates are, because this is where they're actually talking about the contract and they're actually defining it. And again, I can't emphasize enough, you look this up in contract law. When you start defining the contract, that it means this, that it means this, and it means this, then those things are legally binding, and we have every right and expectation to hold them to these definitions. Therefore, it is very imperative and paramount, of the utmost importance, whatever else I can say to add to this, that you need to understand this. You need to understand the ratification debates, because they are the things, these are the documents that clearly delineate how defined these powers are. So let me go on. He says, "The gentleman supposes that complete and unlimited legislation is vested in the Congress of the United States." And I've already gone through a few times when they've proposed this, and I've gone back through where they've actually refuted this. So here's another time he's refuting this. And he says, "The supposition is founded on false reasoning. What is the present situation of this state? She has possession of all rights of sovereignty except those given to the Confederation. She must delegate powers to the Confederate government. It is necessary for her public happiness. Her weakness compels her to confederate with the 12 other governments or the 12 other states. She trusts certain powers to the general government in order to support, protect, and defend the Union. Now, is there not a demonstrable difference between the principle of the state government and of the general government? There is not a word said in the government, in the state government, of the powers given to it, because they are general. But in the general Constitution, its powers are enumerated. Is it not then fairly deducible that it has no power but what it expressly given it? For if its power were to be general, an enumeration would be needless." And therefore, he just gets right down their throats and says, look, you know, there is enumerated powers. It is not a general granting of all sorts of powers. What we have here is a defined and limited federal government, and these are the only things that it can do. Don't keep assuming that it has the power to regulate education and transportation and housing and urban development and regulate laws and just make up laws. As I've gone through these things several times, they have no jurisdiction over anything other than those laws granted it. And there's three. Anyway, we're at a hard break. And so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I've got more ratification debates for you. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And I was actually, I was at an event last night for a political fundraiser. And I was asked by an associate regarding my show, how much can you go through regarding the ratification debates and educating people? And I pointed out to this fine gentleman that there's thousands of papers or thousands of pages within just the ratification debates that I have access to. I would love it if somebody would buy me the DHRC, which is the documentation of the history of the ratification of the Constitution, that was done by the University of Wisconsin. I mean, these things are voluminous. There's lots of pages of data. The whole point, as I was telling this fine associate, was that what we have to do is I have to keep on pummeling and pummeling and pummeling you, not in an offensive way, but giving you the education and insights until you finally get it that the federal government is so far outside its boundaries that if we do not act soon, and I've been saying this on my show, I probably will not maintain this show after 2 years if we do not have any traction. And by 2020, if we do not get a start with talking about the audit in the state legislators and so forth, and it just seems to be dying on the vine, I think I will probably retire to putting sand in sandbags and start reinforcing my home, because I don't know what else it's going to take, because I keep on asking this question. What is it going to take, folks? What is it going to take to finally get you to stand up with me and actually start demanding that our state legislators do their job in protecting us from federal tyranny? If you didn't understand this, you actually have an opportunity to become a true leader. A true leader actually rallies on the core principles of human life and our human principles within our society. And those things are liberty, individual liberty, and individual sovereignty. And so when we stand up to defend those things, then I'm telling you that what we are doing is literally becoming leaders in calling for everybody else to join us. And so I've got to keep on giving you this data. I've got to keep on, you know, plowing through all of this information. That way, you have no doubt whatsoever. It is beyond any reasonable doubt for you or anyone else that we have the higher ground, we have all the legal standing, we have on our side the pure truth that the states have the authority and the power to do what they need to do, and then we can start moving forward in reclaiming our republic. That's what the name of the show is. So anyway, let me get into Mr. Pendleton. And Mr. Pendleton is saying, but it is represented to be a consolidated government, annihilating that of the states. A consolidated government, which so extensive a territory as the United States cannot admit of without terminating in despotism. If this be such a government, I will confess with my worthy friend that it is inadmissible over such a territory as this country. Let us consider whether it be such a government or not. I should understand a consolidated government to be that which should be or should have the sole and exclusive power, legislative, executive, and judicial, without any limitation. Is this such a government, or can it be changed to such a one? It only extends to the general purposes of the Union. It does not intermeddle with local particular affairs of the states. So here's another Federalist that's coming right out and saying that it is a limited government, that it does not get into the local affairs of the states. Anyway, he goes on and says, can Congress legislate for the state of Virginia? Can they make a law altering the form of transferring property or the rule of descendants in Virginia? No. In one word, can they make a single law for the individual exclusive purpose of any one state? No. It is the interest of the federal to preserve the state governments upon the latter. The existence of the former depends. The Senate derives its existence immediately from the state legislatures, and the representatives and president are elected under their direction and control. They also preserve order among the citizens of their representative states, and without order and peace, no society can possibly exist. Unless, therefore, there be state legislators to continue the existence of Congress and preserve order and peace among the inhabitants, this general government, which gentlemen suppose will annihilate the state governments, must itself be destroyed. When, therefore, the federal government is, in so many respects, so absolutely dependent on the state governments, I wonder how any gentleman reflecting on the subject could have conceived an idea of a possibility of the former destroying the latter. But the power of laying direct taxes is objected to. Government must be supported. It cannot be done without a revenue. If a sufficient revenue cannot be otherwise raised, recurrence must be had to direct taxation. Gentlemen admit this, but insist on the property of first applying to the state legislators. So he's basically spelling out, Mr. Pendleton spelling out, that there is this symbiotic relationship between the federal government and the state government, or this mutually benefiting relationship. And the federal government's responsibility, as Madison said in the Federalist Papers and in the Ratification Debates, that the Federalist government or the federal government is to be outward looking, looking at our security, looking at foreign commerce and protecting our borders and so forth. Everything else that's on the internal side, such as our interstate commerce, highways and those types of things, except for post roads. And most people don't know what a post road was. A post road was a highway or a roadway that would connect the state to the seat of government, to Washington, D.C. And that's why if you look at a map of the United States, you can kind of see how there's these highways that all lead to D.C., that traverse the east and west and the north and south corridors that will all kind of bring everything to that hub spoke so that people can get to the seat of government. And that was the only responsibility. Those are the only highways that they have constitutional authority in maintaining and or making. And therefore, as I digress, Mr. Pendleton was pointing out that there was kind of these assertions by many of the anti-federalists that the federal government was going to destroy the states. Now, I will tell you that in essence, the anti-federalists were correct, but it wasn't the Constitution that made them correct. It was due to the failures of the states in not creating barriers from keeping the federal government from encroaching upon their powers. Everybody knows that when you have somebody that has some form of power and authority over others, regardless of what that perceived power is, whether that power may be affluence and money or what have you. And technically in the federal government, it only had this ability of doing these very specific things, but it had to convince the states and the state governments one way or another to either collude with them to violate the Constitution or to ignore what they're doing or to convince them that they were supreme in all things. And that's what John Marshall was doing in his rulings. He had 7 landmark rulings that literally reasserted the fact that the federal government is supreme in all things that they deem necessary and proper. If they need to manage commerce, if they need to manage highways and waterways, if they need to manage energy, if they need to manage the education system, if they need to manage religion, anything they deem necessary and proper, they have the power to do. Well, the fact is that there is nothing giving them those powers of legislation and jurisdiction within the Constitution. Do you understand this? These were all lies. These were hoodwinkings. And as Madison said in his veto in March 3rd, 1817 of the bonus bill or the infrastructure bill, he clearly stated that even if the states go along with violating the Constitution, it never makes what they're doing constitutional. It still stands as unconstitutional government. And therefore, the states at any point in time can stand up and strip this unconstitutional government away from them because we are the stakeholders. The states are the stakeholders of the Constitution. Therefore, I'm at a hard break, and I have actually some more ratification debates for you, so we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And I know that this is a really bold assertion, and I keep on coming out and saying that this is the only show, bar none. There is no other show that is offering you a tangible constitutional solution in fixing our constitutional crisis that we've been living under for over a century. The fact is, this is the only show that has the testinal fortitude to actually tell you what that solution is. I'm not sitting here trying to fight for market share. And so I don't make any money here. As a matter of fact, you can tell by the lack of sponsorships and the lack of time that I have in trying to pursue people to come on board and sponsor this. I am not looking. I don't have a sales force. I don't have that highfalutin lifestyle that I'm trying to tell you. I'm literally going through and coming up with facts and all of these things that I've waded through over the years to try to share these things with you so that you understand that there is, that's why when you listen to my interviews with either professors or anybody else, there's nobody, no one has stood up and said, this is unconstitutional. You cannot do this. What they say is they don't support it. They would rather see a convention of states. They would rather see the status quo. They do not want to fix this problem. I'm telling you, if we do not fix this problem will explode. We will implode as a republic. That's why it is paramount. And I'm so thankful for Red State Talk Radio of giving me this time and being able to help educate you. And I just ask that you help that get this word out. Help tell people you need to start tuning in. This guy's going through the facts of this constitutional crisis that we have, and he's giving you the empirical data and citing the founding documents and going through this. He's connecting all the dots. What more do you need? What more can I do? How can I be of greater service to this republic than doing this work here? Just let me know. You hit me up on Facebook, send me an email, again, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will be happy to do more if I can. I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time left with the segment, so let me get into Mr. Nicholas's last statement that I have for you today. And he says, Mr. Chairman, if the resolution taken by the House of going regularly through, and this is so good, he pokes him in the eye here at first, he says, the resolution taken by the House of going regularly through the system, this Constitution, clause by clause, had been followed, I should confine myself to one particular paragraph. But as to my surprise, the debates have taken a different turn. I shall endeavor to go through the principal parts of the argument made use by the gentleman in opposition to the proposed plan of the government. The worthy gentleman entertained us very largely on the impropriety and dangers of the powers given by this plan to the general government. But his argument appears to me inconclusive and inaccurate. It amounts to this, that the powers given to any government ought to be small. I believe this, sir, is a new idea in politics. Powers being given for some certain purpose ought to be proportionate to that purpose, or else the end for which they are delegated will not be answered. It is necessary to give powers to a certain extent to any government. If a due medium is not observed in the delegation of such powers, one of two things must happen. If they be too small, the government must molder and decay away. If too extensive, the people must be oppressed. As there can be no liberty without government, it must be as dangerous to make powers too limited as too great. He tells us that the Constitution annihilates the Confederation. Did he not prove that every people had a right to change their government when it should be deemed inadequate to their happiness? The Confederation, being found utterly defective, will he deny our right to alter or abolish it? But he objects to the expression, "we the people," and demands the reason why they had not stated, "we, the United States of America." In my opinion, the expression is highly proper. It is submitted to the people because on them it is to operate till adopted. But it is but a dead letter and not binding on anyone. When adopted, it becomes binding on the people who adopt it. Now, let me stop here. Madison, I think, answered this question even more eloquently because he says, who are the parties to this Constitution? Is it we the people? No, it's the people of the states. It is the states who are the parties to this Constitution, not necessarily the people. But I think Nicholson was trying to re-articulate this. It is proper on another account. We are under great obligations to the Federal Convention for reoccurring to the people, the source of all power. The gentleman's argument militates against itself. He says that persons in power never relinquish their powers willingly. If then the state legislators do not relinquish part of their powers they now possess to enable the general government to support the union, reference the people is necessary. And therefore, he's basically trying to use the people as the leverage. But you got to understand that it's not that like the people today, because the people were those of the electorate who had land, those people who could vote. It wasn't necessarily the people that were renting, the people that had no property. They were being represented, but they couldn't vote. Got to keep that in mind. They had a much better system than we have today, because you had to get skin in the game before you could be a partaker in dictating what government was to be doing. And so I want to also point out that in these ratification debates and what he was talking about, there was a necessity for a general taxation, because the federal government was basically coming in to replace a government that had no power. It basically would just request. It couldn't do and lay direct tax. It was requesting the states give something. Hey, we need some money. Can you give us something? And that's why the Confederacy or the Articles of Confederation were, and that general government that they created was going bankrupt. That's why they were becoming dissolvent and they were going to go away. When you hear organizations and people preaching that the Constitutional Convention in creating this new government was a runaway convention, it was apparent that when the states sent these delegates, that they had to fix a failed government and they had to move in a direction that was towards something that would be a greater success. And when somebody says that these guys were abandoning their direction, Madison actually takes offense to that. And I will point you to Federalist Papers 40 and read through the whole 40 series. He talks about how they basically took the Articles of Confederation, almost word for word in some cases, and injected them into the Constitution itself. So he did not like the assertion that they were violating. And as a matter of fact, in the Federalist Papers, he pokes right back into the Anti-Federalist eyes and says, look, we did exactly what we were supposed to do. And he supports that with all sorts of evidence in Federalist Paper number 40. So when you hear an organization or people going around and talking about this first convention back in 1787 as a runaway convention, they're lying and they're being disingenuous of the exigencies of the time. Today, we do not have time for a convention. A convention will be disastrous because it will waste the necessary time we have to getting the states to call out all the violations and gaining compliance. We can do this. I have lots of people that are becoming, you know, getting on board. And I'm glad that you're getting on board too. I would just ask that you continue to spread the word, to continue to send my video out from the Take Action page, that one on YouTube. That video should be viral. Everybody needs to see and understand if they love America, and every patriot should be seeing that one video, because I'm telling you, I hit the nail on the head in identifying the problem and clearly articulating the argument that we have to audit this Constitution and that the states have this power and it's inherent in contract law. I will just say this, that I can't express my appreciation enough for everything that everybody's been doing for me. I know that the Lord's been blessing me, and I thank you for tuning in. I hope that you can help get this word spread, because by myself, I cannot save this Constitution and Republic. I need as much help, and I will tell you, you will be blessed because I have been blessed in this endeavor, and I will share those blessings with you. And with that, I am G.R. Mobley, and I'm out of time for today. I'll be back tomorrow, and we will be reclaiming the Republic with your help. So please tune in tomorrow and bring some friends with you. Thank you so much. God bless.